Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
What is up, all of my beautiful freaking people? Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. Oh, you guys, I have a good one for you today. We are going to get you through your breakup. And if you're like, Gabrielle, I'm not going through a breakup, never fear. This is a wildly fun girl talk episode with a lot of good information that you can apply to all areas of your life. So sit back, grab a fucking cocktail, and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God. Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
Good book.
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh, no, she didn't.
All right, you guys, Dorothy Johnson is here today. I love this woman. She is an expert in how to get over your fucking ex, which I get DMs about all the time. But she talks about the how-to steps in a very different way than I have given you in the past. She's very data-driven. She's very like A plus B equals C, and we're going to get your asses to C. It's also very fun to hear how she got into this work, her wild FML breakup story, which has a lot of tea in itself that I can relate to. And she's just a wildly fun little human. I adored having her on, and there's a lot of really great information in this episode. So if you're one of those people that are like, why can't I just get the fuck over this situation? This episode is for you. and there's a lot of really good mindfulness practices in here, manifestation practices in here, really tracking your thoughts, which even if you are not going through any type of breakup, is going to help you in some area of your life, I promise. So listen, learn, let's get into it. Miss Dorothy Johnson, welcome to FML Talk. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. We're about to dig into all of the breakup stuff and the goodness. I love your podcast. Can you please give us a little bit of background on how you came to host that, how you became like doing what you're doing with helping people get through all the breakup stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went through a breakup back in 2016 with a guy I'd been dating for about 7 years. I was pretty young then. I met him in my 20s, and then we dated throughout my 20s. And he had just finished dental school. I had finished grad school and had like my big girl job. And he finished grad school and we were moving back to Florida. I was so excited because it was kind of like we were just starting our life and we got a house together. We both moved back to Florida, so we didn't have to do long distance anymore. And I thought that that was the moment where I'm like, we're getting engaged. We're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're settling down. Like everything I had worked so hard for the last 7 years was finally coming together. And I was on a work trip to Chicago, and he, about like probably 2 months after we had moved in, I was on that work trip to Chicago. When I was there, he broke up with me very unexpectedly on the phone. And I'm a Taurus. I'm super stubborn. And so when he broke up with me on the phone, I was like, I'm going to wait until you're gone from the house to go pick up my stuff. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. So I found an apartment and moved in with my suitcase, waited until I knew he was going to be gone taking his boards exam about a month after the breakup, flew back to Florida to get my things. And when I went to go get my things, he had piled all of my stuff in the front room of our house. And there was another girl living there since I had left.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was not cool. It was not fun. And so at that moment, I was obviously experiencing the sadness and the grief and the loss and the devastation of losing my person, the person I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, the person that I really felt was my best friend. And then on top of that, I was so angry at this girl that just came in and seemingly like swooped in and stole everything that I felt like I worked so hard for. So in that moment, I really had this mental shift where I just got really committed, really determined. I was not going to go backwards, and I wanted to have the life that I thought I was going to have with him, regardless of whether or not he was going to join me for it. And I wanted to build this life that no one could ever take away from me like he did. So I did what every millennial does and started Googling how to get over your ex, how to get over your ex, how to forgive and let go, how do you move on when your ex moved on quickly, all of it. And when I say I Googled, I didn't just like absorb or passively absorb this information. I was actively doing all of the things. I was journaling, meditating. I got in the best shape of my life. I traveled. I was doing all of the things. And from the outside in, it looked like I had my shit together. Everyone was like, you're doing so great. But internally, I was still seething with anger and resentment. And about a year and a half later, I found myself in a new relationship. And when I found myself in that new relationship, the interesting thing was that I was blaming him for things that he had never done, that my ex did. I was comparing him to my ex. I was still making decisions in hopes to like get my ex's attention somehow. And because I was doing all of those things and I was still seething with so much anger and resentment, I was like, there is no way that this is what it means to be over your ex. Like, there's just no way.
Right.
And I continued to search for information, but that's when about a year and a half later is when I stumbled across the Life Coach School podcast, which was a podcast all about thoughts create feelings and all of this information that became just a wealth of knowledge for me. I grew up in psychology. My dad's a psychologist. My degree is in psychology. My master's is in psychology. Like, I've been in psychology, and no one's ever just blatantly stated thoughts create your feelings. So right. It didn't really matter how much time passed. Of course, I felt the way I felt because my stories and my brain didn't change.
Right.
And that changed everything for me. And then I started to learn about desire and attachment. And I realized that I could change my desire and my attachment through my thinking. And when I realized like the root problem wasn't all of these, I felt like everything the internet was giving me were solutions for symptoms, like go no contact, or it just takes time to heal. Those things I feel like are addressing symptoms, not that they don't work, but I wanted to address the root cause so that I felt indifferent, so that I felt neutral, so that I could like move forward like freely. And the way that I found to do that was through reducing desire for my ex, reducing attachment for my ex, and therefore I felt different. And it didn't really matter how much time went by. I could do that in a moment. And it just changed everything. It just exploded my world. Everything changed. And along that journey, people were already asking me, like, how are you doing this? What are you doing? And so at the time, I didn't feel prepared to help them because I was like, internally, I'm dying. So I'm not going to give you any advice. But once I figured all of this information out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally what I meant to do. And I instantly went to life coach certification school. I got certified as a life coach. I started coaching people. And as soon as I got coach, like I was coaching a lot of people, is when I decided I wanted to start the podcast, because I remember sitting there on my podcast app looking for breakup advice and looking for how to get over your ex. And I couldn't find any podcasts for it. So I was like, I want to take everything that I've learned about treating breakup like root causes versus symptoms and make an entire podcast about it. So that's how the show formed. And that's kind of how I got into what I do now.
It's fucking brilliant to be able to have a podcast like you have that's like a step-by-step. And I love that they're like shorter episodes where you're like, okay, this is my problem. Like, give me some fucking advice on it. You're like, here's 15 minutes. Enjoy.
Yes. Right.
It's absolutely brilliant because so many people are like, cool, I know I need to get over my ex. How the fuck do I do that? So before we jump into like treating the root cause, which I think is so brilliant, I have to go back to some of like the drama of this breakup because what the fuck? So first of all, what was the reason he gave you when he called and ended a 7-year relationship over the goddamn phone?
Yeah. He said it just wasn't working. That's literally all I got was it's not working anymore. I'm not feeling it anymore. And it was really frustrating because we had gone through multiple moves to get to where we were because I was living in Chicago. He was living in Kentucky in Louisville. And then I had to move from Chicago to Louisville. And then we had to move together from Louisville to Florida. And so we had gone through all of these steps,
right,
all of the things. And then for a month or two after all of those steps were done and complete, and I thought we were like good and in a solid place, that's when he decided like, this isn't working for me. It's almost like he had to try it on to know. But I also think that when we moved back, this other girl came into the picture because when he was living in Kentucky, he didn't see her. She was like local to the area.
Okay. And did you ever like have a run-in with her when you went to go pick up your shit or you just saw that she was living there?
So it's kind of crazy that I never get to talk about this drama piece. I'm like just now noticing I never
talk to us about the drama.
Yeah. So this is wild. Fascinating thing is that I knew her through like the friend group in this area. And I followed her on Instagram. And I remember seeing like when I was going through the first month of the breakup, I saw these like photos of her traveling to these places. And I was like, these are amazing. And I'm liking it. And I comment, I'm like, girl, this looks amazing. Where is this?
Oh my
God.
Meanwhile,
she's there with my ex-boyfriend.
Stop. How soon was this after the breakup of you guys?
It was right away. It was immediate. I think he was with her before the breakup happened. But like those images were happening like 2 weeks later. But again, I didn't know she was with him at the time. And then about a month later is when I came home to get my stuff. And I knew there was a girl, but I still didn't know it was that girl specifically until about like the weekend I got back to Chicago. They posted like their Instagram, or not their Instagram, but their Facebook or Instagram profile photos of each other.
Right.
Like it was them like on the mountain
announcing,
with like a selfie. And like, but what's so fascinating is everyone on the comment thread, half the people thought it was me. They were like, oh my God, hey, you know. The other half, the people are like, congratulations. And I just remember sitting there being like, how is everyone okay with this? How
right.
is this okay? Like, why aren't there any breakup police going around writing tickets? Because this is like not okay. You know what I mean? Like how we were in a 7-year relationship. This was me on his profile photo right before this. Like, what is happening right now? Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, that's wild. It's the liking the Instagram photos and commenting on them and not knowing, like that's unbelievable.
Right. I had no idea, no clue. And so then as soon as they came out as a couple, she like blocked me on all of the things. I was like, I get that. But like,
right. But like,
I had no idea. I thought she was a really cool person. I'm sure she's still a cool person.
Summer is here and life is not slowing down for us anytime soon. One of the things we have continuously relied on making our lives so much easier is Factor meals. No prep, no mess, no cleanup meals. I have really been off the wagon with my eating since having my son, and for my health, my wellness, and my mental sanity, I have been switching my dinners to more healthy options from Factor. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. And Tay is continuously shocked every time he sits down to eat one because they are so freaking tasty. They have breakfast, lunches, dinners, and desserts. It's a treat to have restaurant quality food that is so easy to prepare and doesn't come with the insane Postmates bill. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy, FMLers.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
I get asked all the time, like, do you hate the 19-year-old who's now fucking, I don't know, math, like 25 probably. But did you hate the girl at the time? And like, did you blame her? And I never did personally. I know that people have different feelings like when they go through these situations, but I feel like if someone knows that this person is in a relationship, then it's both of their responsibility if they're going to cheat and disrespect that relationship. While it's more so on the person in the relationship, if they both know about it, it's still fucked up. You're still shitty people. It's still wrong. Sorry for those of you that are listening that's like, fuck, I was the person that did that. But if they're not knowing and they have no knowledge of it, then it's like, you know, like,
hard you're just mad about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're just dating a shit person. But I never had any anger towards her. I also like didn't know her at all. So I'm interested, like, now looking back on it, what are your feelings towards her since you felt like you kind of knew her in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I only knew her lightly. I would say that she was more of an acquaintance. I would have never considered her like a dear friend. So I wasn't caught off guard in terms of like, oh my God, that was like such a good friend, like a scandal right. situation or something. But I was never mad at her. It was more of like, I was insecure about it. I feel like I remember, this is so ridiculous, but in the photo that they posted, she had a French braid. And I was like, of course she can French braid. I can't French braid. Like, of course she can fucking French braid. You know what I mean? I'm just like, amazing, cool, right? And it was more of like an insecurity towards her of like, I couldn't hate her. I think she's like a cool person, or I used to think, I don't know anything about her, but from the outside looking in, she looked and seemed like a cool, amazing, nice, put together person.
Right, right. It's so crazy. I feel like the situation you're describing is like the PG-13 version of like the X-rated shit that my shit show of an ex-husband was. Like, I remember like getting sent photos of this girl in like a string fucking thong bikini straddling the pillows that my mother-in-law bought us on our fucking living room couch in the house I had just moved out of, and was like, oh, that's fun.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
So yeah, I wish there were breakup police that were just walking around handing tickets and like throwing assholes in jail for like, think about what you've done for a little while.
Yeah. Like, someone has to like right the wrong. I feel like that's one of the biggest things with breakups is feeling like you want to be vindicated. Like, I don't know if the word's vindicated or like justified or like,
yeah,
someone needs to be like, this was wrong. This was the person in the wrong and this was the person in the right.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay. So now that we've like covered all of the drama tea, which was fascinating. Thank you for that. Talk to me about like when you started doing this research about like the root cause, and we get pretty woo-woo on this show. My mom is a healer. So we talk about, you know, thoughts creating feelings and like making sure you're policing your thoughts all the time. But talk to me about how you discovered that related to getting over your ex.
So, I mean, there's a couple of things. I feel like the first thing that I want to talk about is the fact that when you're getting over someone and you weren't the one who wanted the breakup, it kind of sometimes feels like you're addicted to that person. I don't 100%. Know if you felt that way.
100%.
So I started to see it as like an addictive. I found myself acting out in ways that I would have never imagined myself acting out, doing things that I never thought I would. They were like compulsive, like behaviors that felt extremely out of my control. And I was like, why do I feel like I'm addicted to this person as if I'm addicted to cocaine?
Can you tell me some of those things that you were doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the longest time, I was, before I got blocked, because I definitely got blocked.
I love it.
I was like checking. I was checking the Instagram stories, seeing if he would check my Instagram, like if he was like liking them.
Yeah.
I was checking like the Facebook stuff. I was checking her Facebook stuff. I was like trying to text him. I texted his friends being like, what are you guys going to do about this? This isn't okay. Which, because the girl had also dated one of his best friends. So that was like a whole extra layer. But then like, it was just really psycho things that I was just like, what am I doing? And I just spent, I think it was the amount of time that I spent ruminating and thinking about this and having fake arguments in my head. I had this elaborate plan, right? I had this huge elaborate plan that I would show up. Like I was at some point, I was like, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to roll up in an Escalade with security guards. We're going to get my dog. We're going to be like, you know why. The whole like situation, I was like I would envision that like all the time and have these ridiculous fake arguments in my head. And I know that some of those are just like mental things, but we don't realize how all consuming they are until like you're in it.
100%. Okay. First of all, that's not crazy because every female listening to this is like laughing hysterically going, yeah, okay, I've done that. Check, check, check. I got so bad with my ex to the point where I would post a story and like throughout the day I'd be posting stories and I would obsessively check to see, because he wasn't following me at the time, to see when he would view that story and then post two more and see how quickly he would view those. And then I was like, so I'm tracking like, okay, he's gone to my Instagram, went and searched my name and gone to view my story 7 different times today. And you're telling me that this fucker doesn't want to be with me? What do you mean? And then there was a whole rationale in my head that was like, see, he obviously loves me. It's just a matter of time. No, bitch. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. 110%. So those compulsive like behaviors, I think there were two main problems that I was addressing. One, I felt like ass. I still felt angry after so much time. And so I was like, I hated the whole saying of like, it just takes time to heal. I hated it so much, but I was like, okay, cool. In the meantime, I'm going to do all the things that I possibly can anyways to figure it out. But there we were a year and a half later. And I'm like, why do I still feel like ass? Like, I'm not going to take 3.5 or a half the amount of time that we were together to get over this person. I just don't have that time. I don't want to do that. So when I learned that thoughts create feelings, I was like, okay, that's easy. We switch our thoughts to feel differently. Amazing. That is very, I'm a very data-driven person. I used to be in data analytics. So like, give me a formula and I'll fucking follow it to a T. Yes. And I love it. So I was like, okay, plug in your T here. You get this F. Like it was super simple, super easy for me. And I loved that. And I loved creating formulas to like help with that. So the first was the fact that thoughts create feelings. That still didn't address the compulsive like behaviors. And what I found was that a lot of the symptom solving solutions, like going no contact, we were using a lot of willpower and you had to like willpower your way to like not message or not look at or not talk. And I was like, I just want to be the natural and organic kind of woman who doesn't do that. Like, why can't I just like that? I don't want to have to willpower my way through it. I want it to be almost like I'm a morning person. So of course I get up at 5 a.m. Like I don't have to like force myself to do it. It's just something that I love doing. Right. So that's when I started looking into and researching compulsive like behaviors and desire and attachment and realizing like the whole like, I mean, I could go so in depth around this, but I'm going to try to keep it like pretty light, is that addiction and why we feel addicted to our ex is slightly because we are. And a lot of times that's coming from like a reward loop that's happened in our brain. And that reward loop is driven by desire. And your brain thinks that there's a high desire for this person. And then addiction happens because you think that that one thing, the cocaine, the heroin, like the drugs, the alcohol, that one thing is the most important thing. So your brain will automatically by default shut everything else out to make that the most important thing. And so we have to, with romantic partnerships, when they come to an end, reducing desire is possible. And the way that I talk about it is with ice cream. I love my ice cream analogies. So when I sit here and I'm like, Gabrielle, I love ice cream. It's my favorite food. I love the ooey gooey, the chocolatey chunks, like the caramel just melts in my mouth. Like I love ice cream so much. It seems really desirable. And you might even, as I continue to talk about it in that way, feel desire towards ice cream. However, when I talk about ice cream as it's simply milk and sugar, and I have this visualization of milk and sugar, I'm like, ew, it's like not as desirable. And so that's a very surface level way of just explaining that through our thoughts, we can reduce and increase desire. And that's super helpful when we're trying to let go of something that is no longer serving us. So it's okay to have desire for ice cream. However, when I'm trying not to eat it every night before dinner, because I don't want to have like a sugar high before I go to bed, it'd be helpful if I sit there and I learn how to reduce desire so that I naturally don't want the ice cream. Right. And it's been like such an amazing tool, because once you have zero desire for your ex, you have zero attachment to your ex, then all of the symptoms don't really matter. You run into your ex, you feel indifferent. You're like, my ex is at a party. I have no desire to be with that person. I don't have attachment to that person or needing that person in my life to create everything that I want. Mm-hmm. I feel very like indifferent and neutral towards it. So it's like a non-issue. And then we're not spending all of our willpower trying to like force our way there, if that makes sense.
100%. And let me tell you guys, that indifference is the most magical, powerful fucking place to be. When I finally got there, I was like, oh, here we are. We've arrived. And now it's like, just don't give a fuck. And it's so freeing. Also, I love that we're like, you know, the cocaine, the heroin, the dick. Like, why is that all in one fucking... like, why have we prioritized that to be so addictive? Like, it's not the thing. It's not that great.
Isn't it crazy? It's so wild. Mm-hmm.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Oh my God. Okay, there's so much to unpack here. All right, so you're talking about the really like deprogramming and making it less important and having less of a desire for your ex. What are like action steps to start doing that? Because like theoretically you're like, great, I want to start doing that. I love that for me. How the fuck do I do that? What's the, how's like the how to?
Yeah, I love it. So step one is to make a list of all of the reasons you desire your ex. Actually, rewind. I would say step two is figuring out where your desire is. Again, like I said, I'm a very data analytics person. I'm such a numbers nerd, you guys. I measure this in my program. So figure out on a scale from 0 to 10, how much you desire your ex. 0 being, I have no desire for my ex. 10 being like, I desire this person so much, like with everything in my being. And then give yourself like a rating, because you're going to want to track that over time to make sure that you're making progress. The second thing you need to do is make a list of all the reasons you think you desire your ex. So some of those thoughts might be things like, he's so attractive. He's larger than life. He's assertive and manly. And I really love that about him. He has all of the qualities that I want. And when you have this like extensive list of all of the thoughts that have created a significant desire for this person, which by the way, when you're in a relationship, you want to have that desire. That is not a problem. It's just when you're no longer in the relationship, you don't want that desire. Right. So don't like beat yourself up for having desire for this person, even if that person treated you like trash. Like, I think that we've made up these different stories in our brain. That's a whole separate story. I won't go down that. But it's like, even if this person treated you like trash, like just list out the reasons you think you desire this person and just be honest with yourself, make a comprehensive list, put it in list format. And then the next thing to do, which feels extremely tedious, but is so powerful, is to question whether or not this is the full truth. And this, you told me, and I loved this, that you talked about this, of looking at the facts versus the drama, right? Mm-hmm. The facts of the situation versus like what I make those facts mean. So when you look at, oh, he was assertive and manly, and I really liked that. Like, what was the whole truth? What is the, it's an alternative truth that is equally as true? Or what's the bigger picture? Can you like zoom out and look at the bigger picture of, he was assertive and manly, and I like that, but it turned controlling. And that's not the kind of partner I want. or he was larger than life, but he wasn't larger than my life. And he was attractive. Well, when I think about it, I actually wasn't attracted to him in the very beginning. I'm just now attracted to him now and became attracted to him as I got to know him. Mm-hmm. And then I also like to ask questions around, like, just because this one person has this quality, does that mean no one else has this quality? Right. And so you really start building an extensive list of, kind of like you were talking about, facts of the situation and real, like, truths, looking at the whole picture versus just your rose-colored glasses that you have on. And then when you have this big, long list of all of the thoughts that reduce desire, you have that to refer back to anytime you notice your desire kind of spiking. And you go through that process a couple of times, but as you work through getting over your ex in all of the different, like, ways that I talk about, that piece of the desire is just, like, so important, the desire and the attachment.
Yeah, 100%. Oh my God, so much of what you're saying, I can, like, look back at my getting over my ex journey and be like, yep, that tracks. That's what we eventually had to get to. I just didn't have a roadmap or a lovely podcast to tell me what I needed to do. So the fact that you are putting this information out there in such a analytical, like, this is your step-by-step guide is brilliant. So many people need that, because I cannot tell you how many DMs I get being like, I just can't get the fuck over it.
Yeah, I really love a how-to and a next steps, and I'm not one to, like, listen to a lot of fluff. Like, I hate when I listen to something, it's like fluff. I just want, like, the steps of how to fix or solve this problem.
Yeah, same. You said you traveled after your breakup. Where did you travel, and did you go with friends or did you go solo?
Yeah, these are great questions. I feel like, gosh, it was so long ago. I traveled. So I had made a commitment to myself that I was going to travel somewhere new once a month. And it ended up being like, yeah, it ended up being like two or three times a month. It got exaggerated a little bit. And sometimes I would go alone, but I think most of the time it was like, if I went alone, it was like meeting up with someone new or meeting up with someone. And so it was really just around the United States. And then I landed in Bali. I feel like it's like the most cliche thing, because of course I went to Bali.
Right.
But yeah, I went to like a bunch of different places in the States, like Arizona and Seattle, Boston. I went to a bunch of places that I had never been in the United States. And I was in Chicago, so it was easy, like one flight, and it was super easy to get to. And then I would either meet up with like old friends from high school or an Instagram person that I met that was like, oh my God, come visit me. I see you're traveling, right. Like, come visit, I'll show you around or whatever. And it was really fun. I had like such a blast. I went to a lot of national parks and did a lot of outdoor like hiking at Yosemite and Grand Tetons and like all the beautiful environments in the United States.
What do you feel like traveling gave you in the healing process?
You know, I think that traveling was really helpful because it helps you create new neural pathways. You're in environments that you're not used to, and you might even be in environments where you've never had memories with your ex, so you're not constantly reminded of your ex.
Yeah.
And I think that that part is really helpful, and putting yourself in a new environment to create new ways of thinking.
Oh my God, that's such a great answer. I love how, like, again, data-driven you are. You're like, so this is going to create this in your brain, and this is why this works. I'm like, go be free. It'll heal your soul. Why, Gabrielle? I don't know, because it's beautiful and you'll be alone.
Yeah, there's science behind it. Yeah.
I love it. I think it's so important. So if you could tell people who are in the throes of the addiction of getting over their ex, and they're constantly looking at their Instagram, and they have a fake Instagram to go stalk all of the people that are now in his life, what would you tell them on like the beginning of their journey, other than like start binging the How to Get Over Your Ex podcast?
Yeah, definitely start binging that. I think one of the biggest kind of zoomed out ways of looking at this is, can you think about the version of you who's over her ex? And I'm sure you've been a version who's over the person, because you were probably like in a place where you felt really good about yourself before dating at some point. And so I want you to think about the version of you who's over her ex. How does she like show up? What is she doing? How is she spending her time? What is she not doing? What is she focused on? What is she not focused on? And get clear about like how she feels. Like, what is the emotional experience that she feels? And Gabrielle did such a great job of like showing you like indifference is one of those feelings. I'd say that freedom is another one of those feelings. Grounded, secure, calm. And when you think about those emotions, I want you to think, like, if I was over my ex, why would I be feeling that way? What would I be making that mean about myself, right? What would I be thinking about me? What would I be thinking about my life that would make me feel free and make me feel indifferent and neutral and calm and secure and grounded? And notice those like different thought patterns. And can you start trying them on as if they're like a costume? Can you wake up and just put on that costume of that belief and just try it on for the day? Just like see how it feels and experience it as if you were living that. Because I think from like a woo-woo perspective, the biggest thing is that it's done energy, the already done, calm, confident energy of I am there. I've already arrived. I'm not searching for something that's outside of myself, but I've arrived here. And there's science behind it. And changing your thoughts will change how you feel and create a different behavioral experience. And I think that that's so important. And if you can zoom out enough of those what feel like urgent emotions or completely debilitating emotions, you can start looking at who you're working at becoming, which is even more important than just the simple process of getting over your ex. That will come organically as you figure out who you're truly becoming.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense and it's brilliant. And for the record, if you are trying to manifest anything, that's a really good practice. Like start showing up as the person experiencing already having what you're wanting, whether that's being over a breakup, whether that's a financial goal or a new job or a new home. Like, yeah, that call it woo-woo, that shit works. I'm walking proof of that. So
yes, I love it.
Oh my God, this has been so wonderful. Dorothy, can you please tell everyone like where they can find you, where they can get all the content that you have so that they can start binging it all?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the podcast. It's called How to Get Over Your Ex. And that is on Spotify or iTunes. You can also find me on Instagram at Breakup Coach Dorothy. And then my website is dorothyabjohnson.com. So you can find more resources there as well. But thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope that it was super helpful to everyone listening. I'm grateful for your time.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. I so loved having you here. And thank you for all of your knowledge. I want to thank Dorothy so much for coming on and sharing all of that goodness with us. Please go check out her podcast, How to Get Over Your Ex. If you are in the struggle bus like I once was, I wish I had that during my breakup recovery. Go utilize that. Go check out the podcast, her site, all of the information that is there so that you can get to the other side of this bullshit, because I promise the indifference is so powerful and you will feel like such a fucking boss bitch once you get there. I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I will see you all next week. Cheers. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
Welcome to As a Woman, Fertility Hormones and Beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Natalie Crawford, and I am a fertility physician and co-founder of Fora Fertility in Austin, Texas. We will talk about a wide range of topics, including the menstrual cycle, your hormones, infertility, IVF, mental health, and, well, beyond. So join us and become part of the community of collaboration that amplifies others as a woman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.